Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another amazing episode of Life in a Show podcast. On this show, we're going to talk about mistakes that people make when they are paying down debt, when they are moving towards reducing debt, whether it's good debt or bad debt. We'll talk about what that means and how to really make that path towards being debt-free as smooth and easy and quick as possible. My name is Jason Wojo. I run Life in Error and I am the host of the Life in Error Show podcast alongside my fabled, trusted, sometimes entertaining, once in a great while funny co-host, Polish Peter.
Did you say fabled?
Yeah.
What is fabled?
You have to look it up, bro.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, I guess I have two words, the fabled. I need to look that up. And then I need to learn how to correctly pronounce the word debt that actually people understand, because I just realized when I say debt, it sounds like debt and all kinds of different words.
Like dead. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
So I'll let you handle that word during this podcast.
We unfortunately do not offer subtitles in the podcast here. But listen, man, this is such an important thing. It's really close and dear to my heart because, man, you know my story. I had about $650,000 of total debt, about almost $90,000, not quite, but almost $90,000 of credit card debt at one point in my life. And I'll tell you, man.
Those hair products, or isn't it?
Yeah. Hair products. It didn't work, bro. I got scammed. But it's such a crippling and crushing feeling to have debt, at least it was for me, that as I, you know, shoveled my way out of this and dug my way, you know, out of this slowly, by the way, it wasn't overnight. I just am so passionate about helping people get out of debt and never going back into debt myself with anything like this. And so that's why I really wanted to talk about this in the show, man.
Yeah. And I think it's a really important topic to talk about, especially what's going on right now. I think a lot of, if you look at some of the statistics, there's a lot of consumer debt out there. So people are stressed, people are anxious, you know, and because think about it this way, debt is not just numbers. There's emotions behind it. It's an emotional thing. And it differs for different people, but I will encourage you to look at this. If you have a hard time sleeping, or you wake up in the middle of the night, or you have a hard time going to sleep, or during the day, you think about the debt, the money, or whatever it might be, and you're not thinking about something that's specific, that being intentional, this is the podcast to listen to, because I think it's going to make a difference for you.
So let's double tap on that, man, like, because that started off at a really powerful position. Like, the one thing that you got to recognize, like, let's even back up to, you know, what debt is. And debt, when you really think about it, is a trade. And what you are trading is future time, your time, and the money that it will be made through that future time for the enjoyment of something right now. In other words, like, hey, a mortgage, I'm going to work for you for the next 30 years to satisfy this mortgage on a house, right? And basically what that means is, you know, because a mortgage is roughly approved for about 30% of your revenue, your income, you're gonna work 30% of your hours for the next 30 years to live in this house. And by the way, I'm not picking on mortgages, I wanna be clear here. Mm. But what you are doing is trading time away. You're trading your life away. And so you gotta be just very careful as to what is really worth it for you to trade that away. And that awareness is one, it's the first step, I would say, in deciding whether or not that thing is really worth it. You know, is it worth trading away that time? Now, the problem that a lot of people have is they have a car loan, they have personal loans, they have student loans, they have a mortgage. And very quickly, we can see why people have no time left, no life left. They can't, you know, we've talked about recently an episode of making the jump between being an employee and an entrepreneur. And sometimes that's very difficult for people because they have such a high monthly nut that they need to crack in terms of the money they need to make, because like they have all these loans and they have all this debt, and it's very, very hard to like wrestle free of that without making some changes.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's like this monkey that's constantly sitting on your back and you try to get it off and it never leaves, you know, and you don't have a lot of peace to be able to go around it. So one of the things that I want you guys to consider is that, you know, here's the thing, when you just mentioned about the mortgage, I know we're not picking about the mortgage, but the first time I heard it, and I think it was from you or maybe Steve, that, you know, like the third of your working hours are spent on that. And so if you have a W-2, you probably, if you go to work at like what, 8, 9 o'clock, you work till about noon just to be able to live in the house, right? So if you start looking from that perspective, not just, you know, that kind of a debt, but other debt, like consumer debt, it changes how you start to operate on a daily basis, because you start looking, I had a conversation with someone back in the day when they were talking about when I was in my 20s in college. I was basically then broke, didn't have a lot, didn't have a house, didn't have cars and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, man, if I can just make $10,000 a month, I would be so happy. I would be free, right? And now today they're making more than $10,000 a month and they're less free than they were when they were 20. Why is that? Because there was a whole bunch of debt that came with it. You know, they have the cars, they have the houses, they have all that stuff. So they might be making $15,000 a month, but their debt is taking up $14,500 a month. And at the end of the month, they have $500 left. So that is when you start looking from that perspective, how it impacts you, you then see how you can go about it in a different way. So obviously, that's either there is a mindset about having no debt versus having some debt versus having all kinds of debt or good debt. It's up to you. You get to choose. And how you get to choose? We talk about it in the Life on Air podcast here about having your vision for your life. So, and then based on that vision, you choose whether you want to have a debt or not. You know, I think that's an important aspect.
Let's take a step back though. Like, you know, because someone right now is thinking about like, well, what about good debt versus bad debt? So this could be a whole different episode in itself. Let's just touch a few of the main points though. So I think we can all agree that consumer debt, you know, and when I say consumer debt, I mean credit card debt for the most part. It's probably not something that anybody wants, right? And so I get it. And let me also say, I understand that life happens and a medical emergency happens or your car transmission goes out and those things do occur. And so not to absolutely say like, oh, you know, you're gonna go without a car because like in principle you're against debt. Like, no, I get it. But overall, like I think it's important to recognize like where are you spending money and what are you going into debt over? And like, is that a reflection of what you find important and what you find valuable? And make that decision based on what Peter is saying, like your vision. Like, is this getting you closer to your vision or further away? Because, you know, the thing that you mentioned earlier, man, is like, you know, are you spending a lot of time worrying about debt and stressed about debt and anxious about debt? And the truth is, like, debt isn't just a numeric equation. It's not just about numbers. Like, you know, and I mean, even if you, you know, even if you are someone who's interested in math and you like running the numbers, like, oh, it's only a 2% interest rate. It's like free money. Inflation's 3%. I'm making money. Well, if you are bothered by having that debt, like I would encourage you to really consider that as being like, you know, maybe a sign that you shouldn't be in debt and it doesn't appeal to you, even if the numbers make sense. And so, you know, I shared the story with you and I've shared this before too, where, you know, a year ago or so, I bought a new car. And my plan, I had the money set aside already because prior to that, I had a 2003 Toyota 4Runner that lasted me like 18 lifetimes. And
that thing was indestructible.
It was until it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I'm going to lend this money out and I can get 12, 15% on it. And I'll just pay a note, you know, and get a loan. Car loan is around 4%. And I did it for one car payment. One car payment, I'm like, no way. Like, this is just like, it just felt so, oh man, dude, it just sent shivers down my spine. I made that one payment and then I just paid off the car. And someone might look at me and say like, oh, what an idiot. Like, you know, you could have like made an 8% spread on your money and da, 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 da. And like, yeah, but it's not worth it to me. I'm not going to sacrifice my peace of mind for 8%. And so like, I'd encourage you to like, do what feels best for you. If you have that feeling or that sensation, like that if this bothers you, then avoid debt. And that's the first thing to realize is like, you know, just be careful. And the other thing I'll say about like a quote unquote good debt, it's good while it works. It's not so good when it doesn't work, you know? So you have that mortgage on that rental property and it's great when their tenant's paying and everything's smooth, but the second like they move out or you have to evict them and you have to go in there and like, you know, there's a vacancy and now you have a mortgage payment to make and there's no income coming in, doesn't feel so good. So like, you just got to kind of weigh these things for yourself. Like, you know, we have some people in Life and Air that are, that utilize leverage and, you know, and to differing amounts. Some people are like, you know, hey, I'm cool with like, you know, 80% leverage. Other people are like 50%. Other people are like, I want to be debt free and I'm buying my assets, you know, with other life inheritors, for instance, and we're going to contribute, you know, to joint venture partnerships. And so everyone's different, but just don't educate yourself on the pros and cons of each of these. And hopefully that's what we're doing a little bit here. But there's no right or wrong answer. It's what fits your vision.
Yeah. One other thing that like a cautionary tale, I think is important to talk about this. So when we do our Gear Life Giveaways, we talk about the four stages of financial prosperity. And we have podcasts. You can go and look up the episodes we've recorded about this. But in short, it's like stage one is vision. Stage two, meeting your needs to make sure that you meet your needs financially and in your life. Stage three, you have excess cash. And stage four, you get to a point where your assets are paying for your lifestyle, right? So what happens a lot, I've seen this a lot because I've done this in the past too, is that now that I have some money, I have some extra money, and I got that raise or I got that, you know, client or whatever it might be, and now I'm like $20,000, $30,000 a year more or whatever, I always wanted this car or I always wanted this thing, whatever it might be, and I go and buy it. And now that $30,000 extra just went out the window because now even though my income went up, my expenses went up as well. And now it's almost like this paying Peter to pay Paul kind of a thing because it's constantly moving, you know, it's constantly going up. And in the end of the day, you end up back in that stage two. You end up back into basically barely making ends meet. So my encouragement to you as you're going to have some extra money, extra cash and things like that, don't increase your lifestyle right away because this is what happens a lot. You know, there is TVs, there is all kinds of different things that you can go and buy. Instead, look for some assets that maybe those assets are going to pay for that stuff for you. And that's how you're going to shift to be able to go and free yourself so that that doesn't, you know, take over your entire life, you know?
Yeah. Hey, we're going to get right back to the episode. But before we do, I'm so excited to finally share this with you. The Business for Life book is finally launching. I've taken 3+ years of my life, 15 years of academic training, 19 years in business, and put all of this into a one single source for you to create an amazing life and business you love. If you've been following the podcast for any period of time, you know this is all what we're about. And never before have I taken all the principles, all the lessons, all the experiences into one place so that you can have a step-by-step blueprint for achieving it. It's meant to be tactical. It's meant to be a roadmap. It's not a fluffy business book, but it's something you can actually use and refer to achieve the freedom you wanted the business for so that you can get your time back, so that you can get your life back. Go to businessforlife.com to learn more. You can grab your copy off Amazon and the instructions are right there. I'm so excited to be part of this journey alongside you. And I have something here that I know 1000% is going to help you like nothing else ever has before. And I'm proud to present this to you and be part of that. So go get that book and let's get back to the episode. You know, so these are some of the ways that people get themselves into debt. Let's talk about how to get out of it. You know, one of the mistakes I think people make, and this is something that like once you feel the pain of debt, and again, this is just for me. Some people can have millions and millions of dollars worth of debt or tens of millions and not blink an eye. Like, I don't like that. I don't like owing anybody anything. But one of the mistakes is to pour every dollar and every penny you have into paying off that debt. Because what happens is if you have no money left in the bank, the first expense you have, the first emergency, it's going to go right back on the credit card. And so, like, I'd encourage you to really build up the cash reserve that you have so that you can use a debit card instead of a credit card while you're going through this. Now, to be clear, I'm not against credit cards. And I know some people say like, oh, I just paid off every month. And that's fine. And if you can totally do that, then more power to you. Although there are some studies that show that, you know, you're going to spend up to 17%+ more money when it comes to something like using a credit card. And so you might be overspending there. But more so, this is for somebody, if you're trying to get out of debt, like forget about like, you know, if you have no problem with it, and you're trying to get the points, I get it. Although I will tell you, like, they wouldn't offer that stuff unless this thing falls into the credit cards company's failure. If it falls into their, it's favorable for them. Like, and so
no,
they
really
offer it. Like, yeah. So they obviously like all these points and incentives in, you know, they're making more money off of offering these than less. And so like, just recognize, like you know, be careful with this. So when it comes to paying down the stuff, number one is don't pay it all off at once. Give yourself a cushion. And by the way, I did this. Like I was so passionate to get out of debt that I'd plow all this money into my credit cards, and I was broke again. And the first thing that happened is back on the credit card. And it's very discouraging because you feel like you're just caught in this loop. The other thing that I'd really strongly encourage you to consider is like Dave Ramsey's baby steps. We have no affiliation with Dave Ramsey. We don't get anything from promoting it. But what I've found, and this is a path that I used when I had all that debt, pay off the lowest balance card first. Forget about what the interest rate is. Card A has 10% interest rate and you have, 20 grand on it. Card B has, 30% interest rate on it. But you have, well, actually, let's use the other example. Let's say your 10% card has, 5 grand on it. You got 5 grand on your 10% card and your 30% card, you have 50 grand. You might be like, oh my gosh, I'm getting crushed with the 30% interest. I need to pay this down. No, pay off the lower balance card, regardless of interest rate, because something really powerful happens in our psychology when you make progress. And when you can have that card down to zero, like it's pretty amazing. So the whole strategy is basically you dump all your extra money into that one single card with the lowest balance. And then once you pay, and everything else gets minimum payments. And then after you pay that off, now you take that extra money that you were pouring towards that credit card and put it to the next lowest balance. Like I found that very, now, by the way, again, doesn't make mathematical sense. But just like we said 5 minutes ago, like it is not just a financial decision. Like there's emotions involved, the psychology involved. And so this is the approach that I used, man. I don't know. Did you ever have a lot of credit card debt or not really?
Yeah, we did too. Yeah. So, I mean, I did. Similar way of doing that. I mean, this was before I knew about Ramsey's method, but this is a really, really good method to use because think about it this way. That one that's got a $50,000 balance on it, if you right now you're paying off, let's say every single month you're paying like $300-$400 or whatever the number is, the minimum payment. Now, after you go through the snowball effect, this baby steps that he's talking about, by the time you get to that card, now your balance is like $4,000 or $5,000. Now it changes the needle, like because it actually moves the needle because you start taking bigger chunks out of it. So I think that strategy works really well. So if you're in that position, incorporate it, use it, look it up on the internet. It's all over the place. And and actually be disciplined in it. Yeah.
The other thing I'd say, man, is when it comes to paying off the debt, I would encourage you to consider like really only keeping like one or two cards. Like you don't need 18 cards, and the credit card companies fool us by saying like, oh, well you need all, your credit score is going to take a dip and you need your credit. Listen, when you get to a point where you're successful, you don't need credit card and you don't even need a credit score. Frankly, you have enough money. Like you don't need that. So I'd encourage you. Yeah. If you want to have a card or two for like super emergencies, fine. But I would not keep 16 cards, and especially these department cards, man, like you got to let that stuff go. Which by the way, don't even get me going on how this whole credit score thing is rigged, because like it's just a measure of how good of a debt payer you are. It doesn't mean anything about your wealth.
Exactly.
So the other thing I'd say, man, is so you got the debt snowball. The other thing is consider giving yourself awards. Or rewards rather, as you pay off debt. Like, so you really want to capitalize on like what we know about positive reinforcement. So one of the things that I did, for instance, when I was paying off that credit card debt, for every $10,000 I paid off, I gave myself a $1,000 allowance to let myself go buy something. And many times I would just pour that back into paying off the debt, man, because it felt better. Now, I think I did buy one or two guitars with some of those. Yeah, right. So, but give yourself some rewards, and like, that's why I know it can feel like a long road. Oh, here's something else.
But listen, caveat on that. I mean, don't go buy the reward is not another car.
Don't set yourself back. Don't set yourself back.
Like 10% of what he was.
Yeah, it should be cash. Like you're buying something cash. You're not taking out more debt.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you, many times you'll just rather pay down the debt. Maybe it's a nice dinner or something like that, celebrate paying off 10 grand. Like that'd be great. Go nuts. Have fun. The other thing I'd say is like, this is me. I had a buddy who was giving me advice during this period of time. He's like, well, why don't you just like, get one of these 0% interest credit cards, do a balance transfer, and then you just keep the money rolling that way and just look for new, you know, new card every 3 or 6 months or however long that 0% interest rate is. And I didn't do that. And again, that makes no sense financially, zero. But as sadistic or masochistic, I'm not sure which the right word is here, as it is, I wanted to kind of feel the pain of making these bad mistakes and going into debt, because otherwise I was afraid I'd go back into debt again. So I really wanted to like let that sting and really feel the pain of what it's like to be in debt. So I didn't do that. And by the way, one of the reasons why you got to be careful about that is because all you're doing is playing the shell game. And if you don't change your habits and your spending and behaviors, you're just going to keep going into debt. Like, and so I wanted to change the behavior. And so that's why I made it painful enough for me to not do that.
Yeah. And I'm not sure, this might not happen to everybody, but I think when you do that, putting the 0% interest card, one, you're delaying the inevitable kind of thing. You have to deal with this anyway. And then two, you know, what happens in your thinking? Do you feel like, oh, now I can have a breather? And yes. And then when you have a breather, what do?
Right.
Do you still not buy anymore, or do you buy something else? You know, because if you go and buy something else now you're compounding more debt, right? So just be very intentional with this whole entire action, how you go about doing it.
So you also remind me of this, man. Like, I'd be very cautious of like consolidation loans, because you don't change the behavior. Like, all you're doing is taking all that money and you roll it all up and you have a better interest rate. But now you still have all those credit cards. You still have the spending habits. Like, unless you really feel like you've changed your habits, I'd encourage you to just be very careful with that, because like, not only are there hidden costs and things like that, but more so is the hidden danger of like continuing spending. And you know, and I get it. Like, we live in a culture where everything's so easily available, and you know, our grandparents didn't have credit cards. Like, I remember at a point in time where like going into debt was looked upon very unfavorably. Like, you know, the model or the viewpoint back then was like, if you can't buy it cash, you can't afford it. And this is one of the mistakes I think people make, is like, hey, oh, I can afford the payments. No, well, if you can't afford to buy it, you can't afford it. Forget about the payments. Like, and you know, it's like, oh, it's only $36 a month or $96 a month. Or, you know, you can finance anything, dude. Anything these days is financeable. And this is where people get themselves into problems, in trouble.
Yep. You should finance some guitars, huh?
Dude, I mean, you go to the music stores, you see financing only $36 a month. Only, you know, like, you see that. I see it.
On guitar store? Really?
Mm-hmm. Right on the website too. They have a lot of financing built into these guys have realized they can make a lot of money on financing, you know?
Yeah.
So everything can be financed. But I'd encourage you, like, don't do it. Like, just find, you know, really examine your priorities, look at your vision, what's most important to you, and then just figure out a way to get out of debt as quickly and as safely as possible.
One thing also that I would encourage you, if you are married, make sure that you align with your wife about this whole entire, and your husband or whoever it is, that you are aligning on this vision for the debt kind of a thing, that you guys are in a conversation together. Because if you don't, that's going to create a lot of friction in your relationship. And that's what I think debt does a lot. I mean,
oh,
it costs me a
you
lot.
Have a, you know, you have a spender, so, and then somebody who's really like trying to save money.
Saver, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll have to do an episode on that, how to have those discussions.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. All right. Awesome. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I really hope that you are able to move towards your vision and get out of debt. Like, if this is something that is important and impressed on your heart, like, you can do it. I know you can. It might take some time. Like, by the way, like, it took me a couple of years really to get out of debt, and you just got to keep going and just make hard decisions. And you're going to have to do, you know, it might have to be, you know, rice and beans for a while, you know, and pasta and ramen. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you got to do to get out of debt. But, you know, your path is your path. We're here to support you. Let us know how we can help. Come join us in the Life in Your Facebook group. And we will see you next week, everyone. Take care.